B-Pod Studios.
Toucher and Rich.
That's got to be a soul killer.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
That's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, I think with Jake, there needs to be a little time, personally. So my conversations were with Jake, I think, would have been too raw the day after. So the players had some time to themselves. So we're going to sit down this week, now that we've both digested a little bit of the season, and say, okay, let's find some common ground on where you see yourself fitting into this lineup. And where I feel you need to be better, and see if we can, you know, sort through some of the stuff now that the season's over. Sometimes in seasons, players are just going to tell you what you want to hear at times. Dig a little deeper with them so we can get to the root of, okay, what's going to make you the best player? Now, we've tried that. Don't get me wrong. In season, players have meetings with coaches, the assistant coaches, et cetera, but you're always on to the next game. So you can get through some of it, but maybe this will be a little bit of a longer process.
.985 the Sports Hub. We're touching Rich. Obviously, that was Cassidy talking about Jake DeBrusque. Matt Votor is a sports columnist for MassLive.com. He encapsulated all the player interviews when they were talking to the media after the season was over. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hi, Matt.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, all right. So, first of all, what was your opinion on Jake DeBrusque and what he had to say? We talked to Jake throughout the season and about the quote-unquote haters and all the negative stuff he was getting from the press. What was your read on that?
Well, at some point he has to change something if he wants to stop hearing it, because I mean it's been 2 years of Cassidy trying to extract 2018, 2019 back out of him. He hasn't done it in a long time. And they've changed lines with him. They put him on the right side, on the left side. They've sat him down, hoping that would spark him. And it does sometimes for a minute or two, or a game or two. But eventually he just disappears again. He's a guy that for a lot of games, you kind of forget he's out there. And at some point the next question has to be, is change of scenery, is new situation and a new system what he needs? Because it's starting to feel like 2018, 2019, which everybody was hoping would be like the foundation and the jump off point for a really good career, that maybe that was the anomaly, that once teams got a book on him, that he's not that kind of player, that's the high water mark, and hasn't approached it really since.
Okay, so if he was to be moved, which it sounds like it's probably the best for everyone, I know that people around the league feel that there's talent there. Do you think there's any value? Can you get a distressed asset, meaning like a young player who maybe hasn't performed for another team in return? How do you think that would all work?
Well, you could potentially. You could trade your problem for somebody else's problem. The other thing is he makes $3.6 million. So if you're unloading him for a draft pick, that might be money you use to keep Mike Riley.
Yeah.
So there's value potentially to putting his contract elsewhere. I'll be really curious, because it seems sometimes when you listen to him, like Bruce Cassidy is kind of running low on patience with the Jake DeBrusque experience, that I'd be curious if they protect him for the expansion draft. They probably will, but you'd be daring Seattle to take him. And then you're taking that salary off your hands, and you're putting it toward a you know, potentially a free agent young forward that you're replacing him in a roundabout way, but it's certainly possible you could do it that way, too.
That's a good question. Who do you believe they're going to make available for the expansion draft?
So I'm curious on the forwards. There's, I feel like it really comes down to kind of two, that they'll protect two out of four guys, whether it's Frederick, Nick Ritchie, DeBrusk, and Kasha. And I can't imagine you protect Kasha. His upside is probably the highest of those four guys. But, God, he's been such a disappointment from a health standpoint since he's been here. And if you like him and you want to take a shot at him, Seattle's probably not making that gamble either. So it kind of comes down to you keep the two bigger guys, Frederick and Ritchie, to have that kind of an element. Or do you keep one of those two guys and DeBrusk? I think they probably keep DeBrusk in hopes of, because maybe you can move him for something. Maybe you trade him for a fourth round pick. I'm just guessing. But, and then keep, then is it Frederick or Ritchie in that situation? I'm not really sure. It'd be interesting to see what they think Frederick's long-term ceiling is.
Yeah, that's going to be strange. When do they have to put that in by? Like, is it right after the, when is the expansion draft anyway? I'm trying to remember.
It's next month.
Is it next month? Okay.
Yeah, I have it here someplace.
That's all right. That's right. I just thought you might know off the top of your head. So we were talking about the whole Krejci situation, and when you heard him speak the other day, I mean, obviously he's still, you know, wants some decisions to make. He said he doesn't want to go play anywhere else in America other than the Bruins. But, you know, Fred's of the mindset of, you know, maybe it's time to move on, get younger. This is a big off season. Why not try to get it all done at once? And if that's going to be the case, who do you see out there that you believe could fill that role that is either going to be available by trade or somebody in free agency?
I'm not sure trade-wise, because it'll be an interesting trade market because of the flat cap allows teams to, you're going to have some teams that are going to have to trade guys they wouldn't want to trade because they can't afford to keep them as other salaries rise. If you look at free agents, a guy like Gabriel Landeskog in Colorado is coming off a terrific year. He's 28. That's a guy you'd look at. If you like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, he's a center. This isn't the best year that he's coming off of, but he's a guy you could, you know, potentially slot in to that second line center if you're not keeping Krejci. Blake Coleman from Tampa Bay, they potentially have some salary cap issues if they can't, you know, circumvent them again. So there are some guys potentially out there if you either don't pay Krejci at all or you pay him considerably less. I mean, he was your highest paid player last year. So that's a guy that you could let go of. And it's not really, do you want to keep Krejci or not keep Krejci? It's, do you want to keep Krejci versus what else can you get for the money that he has?
Do you think that now, if you wanted to keep Krejci, let's say that you wanted to stick, you know, have him stick around, how much money do you think would be the most in years that you would offer him?
So, I mean, you look at 2 years, or you look at 2 years and I don't know, four. I'm not great on money numbers for that sort of thing. But the question is, if you want to bring in somebody, if you bring back Krejci, he's kind of almost has to be your second line guy, because you're not going to play him as a fourth line guy.
Right.
And Charlie Coyle hasn't really shown that he can be a second line center. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you're bringing Krejci back, you're counting on that second line to be the same again and to really produce like they did at the end of the regular season and the Washington series over the course of a full season. And so that's the question. Krejci's 35. Does he have that in him for a whole year, or does it make sense to see what else you can get? My guess is that the Krejci decision doesn't happen quickly.
Yes.
I'm guessing that they'll probably take a look around and see what's out there before making that decision.
And you put it very well, is that's the problem with bringing back Krejci, is that you're running back what hasn't worked. And I understand the line was good at the end of the year, but you exited the second round of the playoffs, and this team has got to turn over this roster. The roster has been the same. Think of all the other teams in Boston and how much that the roster turnover there's been in the last 10 years. I mean, it's crazy the amount of that they continue to keep running this thing back and back and back and back and back. And now these guys are at an age, and you're absolutely right. You signed Coyle. It was a good in-season trade, but you signed Coyle, and with the idea, I would imagine, of being him being your second line center, that's not going to happen. So you've made that mistake. But again, if you bring Krejci back, that's the second line again, and it's the second line for two more years. And does anyone think that that's a good idea if you want to win a cup, or if you want to win a cup in 5 years? I mean, you have to make these changes. You have to get younger, and it should be interesting. Finally, Matt, with Tuukka Rask and his injury situation and the timetable on him, do you see any reason why the Bruins would bring him back?
Well, in a perfect world, you'd love to have him as your number two guy, or at least pushing Swayman in January and February. But the problem is, to do that, you have to trust Dan Vladar to be your backup for the entire time Tuukka is out for. And you never know exactly. They say January, February. The hip's obviously a pretty important joint for a goalie.
Right.
And so who's backing up Swayman in that situation? Because you're not going to get any kind of a competent backup willing to sign if you think that Rask is going to come back later and that person's going to lose their job. So I'm not even sure Halak would come back in that situation to back up Swayman, knowing that Rask might push him out again. So the Rask question almost becomes, what do you think of Dan Vladar as a backup for 3 months?
No, and there's no way. It's completely unfair to Swayman, because we talked to Raycroft about it too, and he's like, if Raycroft was talking about when he was playing, and I can't remember who was the backup.
Felix Potvin.
Potvin. And so Potvin obviously had success. He was at the end of his career, yes. and Raycroft went through some growing pains. They took him off the ice for a week or so, worked with him, and let Potvin play goal, and you just can't do that with
Vladar. But the other thing about Rask is, and he's, again, I'm only going to play for any of the, I'm not going to play for any of the teams other than Boston. You know, I wouldn't put it by the Bruins, say, okay, you go get your surgery. We'll see where we are in January and February. Maybe our backup goaltender's hurt. Maybe we're going to need a goaltender at that time. But if we sign you then, we sign you then. If we don't, we don't.
Why not?
That's definitely the more realistic approach to it. I think you're right.
Yeah, why not? I mean, if he's willing to wait around, I mean.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, but you also.
What other choices do you have?
Yeah, and it's also, Matt's right. I mean, there's a million goaltenders out there that they can sign, and you can't sign a goaltender and go, well, you know, Rask is coming back.
In that scenario, you sign a goaltender who's beyond the age of 35 that can play every fourth or fifth game in back-to-backs, and because that goaltender is old, you say, okay, maybe that goaltender wears out. Maybe that goaltender's hurt by the time January and February come around.
I mean, that could happen. All right, Matt Vitor. Thank you so much for the time. You can read him at masslive.com. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Talking about the game is no game.
You are listening. You are enjoying the talk.
Toucher and Rich.
That's wordplay, my friend.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Durant being hounded. Back door to Irving, who lays it in. And it fell hard on his right side, and he's down. Holding his right ankle. Up top, Antetokounmpo. Out of the left, Connaughton for three is no good. Irving is still down as the Nets get the rebound. Griffin's got it. Irving's holding his right ankle.
.985 the Sports Hub, but we're Toucher and Rich, and there you go. Kyrie Irving's quote-unquote hurt.
Yep, and to that big baby Glenn Davis said that was the same ankle that you stepped on lucky.
So. I'm sure a lot of people are SMH.
I think most people thought it was great. Like somebody actually said something because everyone hates Kyrie.
Kyrie should have his bodyguard go and find Big Baby Davis and give him some hassles with the over what he's putting up there on the internet.
Yeah, go make him cry, possibly. You know,
it's not hard.
No, we've seen Kevin Garnett do it right there on the bench.
No, it's not hard. But yeah, and you, if you follow the game of basketball, you saw Kevin Durant's bodyguard came out to give PJ Tucker a nice shove when PJ Tucker got into Kevin Durant's face during a game. So now Kevin Durant's victimhood and wussiness has gone on to the actual court of basketball where he has others fighting his battles.
Has he, did he address that? Like, I, like, did he say anything about that? Because when the story first happened,
tweet him and see, you know, he'll come back at you. But that, then watch out, because you'll be being racist. So be careful what you say to Kevin Durant as a white man, because that, you cannot call out Kevin Durant without him standing in the background and egging someone else on to call you racist. And again, Kevin Durant's bodyguard comes out and bodies P.J. Tucker, yet this is Kevin Durant, who stood next to Kyrie Irving, just talking about how deplorable Boston was because Kyrie got a water bottle thrown at him. And by the way, good for the media, too, to just get on their side and not, you know, use any common sense whatsoever. Way to read the tea leaves and be wrong. You know what? Maybe when you're writing, you should write what you actually believe instead of just trying to kowtow to whatever way public sentiment's going so you seem like a good guy and don't get in trouble. Because you should, because if you say what you believe and you're a decent person, then you can stand by if people come after you. This is one thing you learn in sobriety, is that if you believe in something, and if you believe it and you say it and then people get pissed at you, you're like, all right, well, what do you want me to do about it? I believe what I said. And so there you go. What's going on? Is there like blurry music?
What is happening out there? I can
no idea. I heard that too.
Like, these are soundproof studios and I can hear something from the other room. That's how loud it is.
What's going on?
What is that?
It's not me.
Is that from behind Fred, the room, the booth behind you?
I don't know.
Like, something is being cranked, and Zolak's wandering the halls, and
well,
I'm wondering
then,
if...
Well, then obviously he's got something to do with this. That's usually how it works.
As soon as you said that, he popped his... All of a sudden, he just appears
what?
In the other room.
You talking about me?
They're probably playing something on the country station that he enjoys, so he turned every speaker up in the office.
Oh, he can't possibly like the stuff that country station
next
plays.
Next step for Zolak is really to pop good. His head in and start screaming at us.
Modern country sucks.
There you go.
Yes.
Were you playing loud music? Oh, no.
Okay.
Never mind.
You can't possibly like new country music.
I just want you to know I just called that to a T.
No, not country music. The new country music.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Yeah, my dog. But yeah, I kind of like it. It's pop. Country pop.
Yeah, it's pop. There's no country to it. It's a Florida Georgia Creed. Yeah. It's awful.
I love that. Right. I love Florida Georgia Line.
I like how they rap.
Yeah, like that's super cool when they rap.
And so everyone that defended the Nets and like acted like they were such victims and were so put upon.
You better go after Kevin Durant.
No, that's going to age so well. way to go. Because so much of this crap, I don't know. Sometimes I do it to torture myself, but to turn on ESPN radio at one point and just hear what they're saying. And they're saying everything that they think will make them look good. And they're saying it like they're cool and like that they get it. We're young and we get it. No, you don't. Say if you're not a terrible person, say what you believe. And if you get a little heat of it in the moment, chances are things will at least level off. I mean, the water will find its level. The people that came after the city of Boston and came after that guy for throwing that bottle, it seemed ridiculous now. Kevin Durant's bodyguard came out and pushed PJ Tucker, a black guy, away from Kevin Durant. The idea that, and I know why it's not happening, because everyone's afraid that they'll come out and then they'll go, well, so-and-so has attacked Kevin Durant before, and, you know, so who knows what, if he's, you know, burning crosses.
It was PJ Tucker! was P.J. Tucker on the court during a game.
But I can assure you that there is at least a slight directive from ESPN not to go after black NBA superstars for any reason.
Well, I mean, the backlash, because they're afraid of being called out by Kevin Durant, who will call them out.
Yes, and I think that there's also
Kevin Durant gets away with pointing the finger at everybody and never pointing the finger at himself. And he talks trash on more people than anyone.
Because I
in the
think
NBA.
That the NBA is in a weird place right now.
He got a free pass for being wildly homophobic on those direct messages.
Well, if that was anybody else. Rich, these guys are guided by dudes that spout anti-Semitism that would make a Hitler thumbs up. So, I mean, these guys, they're like, well, he's great friends with Steven Jackson. Well, have you read what Steven Jackson says? But that's okay. But I won't. I'm not going to go off on that. But that's okay. What Steven Jackson says is perfectly fine. He doesn't. The Jews run everything. If you don't know.
Yeah, but he's not in the league right now, so he's able to pretty much.
But he's a mentor to all these guys. Right. But nonetheless, there is this. I mean, Kevin Durant is in a personal hell. He really is. He's obviously, championship success, being at the top of your game. I mean, there's talk now that Kevin Durant is possibly the greatest scorer in NBA history, people are saying, just because of what he's able to do with his length and size and shooting ability. And he can't enjoy any of it. He can't enjoy a championship. He can't enjoy being the best. He can't enjoy anything.
Think about it, though. You're all the stuff you're saying, he's kind of boxed in on all sides that way. And now he plays for a team that was supposed to go win the whole thing. Kyrie Irving's not there to answer questions. James Harden's not there to answer questions.
By the way, you know why Harden's not there? It's because Fat Ass didn't take the offseason with any kind of seriousness. And he gets...
He's standing there.
That's completely why his hamstring went out. It was conditioning.
Sure.
Complete conditioning. And if you talk to any trainer, they'll tell you. And I bet you they'll tweet, because no one calls. But they'll tell you that is because that's from lack of training.
But now Harden's out. Maybe he plays. Maybe he doesn't. But it doesn't look like he's going to be back. Irving's ankle didn't look good. I don't think he's going to play. So now you have Kevin Durant by himself, no one to take any questions off of him, boxed in like he is, with the New York media following Brooklyn around. And as soon as Milwaukee goes to Brooklyn and wins game five, guess who everyone's going to ask all the questions of? So now, an overly sensitive guy has to handle all that media with no one else to sit next to him, and he's stuck in his own skin.
I mean, how many op-ed pieces did you see where there was just a picture of the guy getting let out of the Garden because he threw the bottle?
Oh, sure. And it was, and it said, look at how bad the people of Boston are.
Yeah, like just despicable races, which whatever, okay. But, you know, Kevin Durant is not the greatest guy in the world. I mean, he's not a good guy. He can't fight his own battles. His friend is P.J. Tucker, by the way. They're friends. They both went to Texas, apparently. And the idea that story is not being universally mocked, that Kevin Durant is not being universally mocked, is really something else.
Oh, don't worry. I think all the players in the NBA are looking at that and... I think they're all.
I would like
their
to think
stuff.
So.
Oh yeah.
I would
you,
like to.
You
think...
had your bodyguard come in and fight your battles on the court. Oh yeah. You can't live that down.
I don't know.
You just can't live that down.
I would hope you're right.
It's like the time at basketball practice when a guy showed up late because he got a perm.
Mike Hamill, that happened in our football team.
That happened with us.
Yeah, we had a guy who got a perm.
This guy showed up, and he was late for practice, and his mom had dropped him off. And when he walked in, this is in high school, he walked in and he had a perm, and everyone just started dying laugh. You can't live that down. Now you're perm guy.
That's so funny, because there was a guy on my Pee Wee football team and he was like the cool guy, and he was like the best on the team. And he walked in with a perm, and we kind of all looked at each other like, is this okay? And then we just all started dying laughing and making fun of him.
Even the coach started laughing.
Oh, yeah, our coaches started laughing.
Because there was no word as to why he was late, and it was like a good 30 minutes. And all of a sudden, in the middle of practice, you just see the long walk from the other side of the gym towards you, and everyone sees that all of a sudden, this dude's got curly hair.
Yeah, that happened.
Which he never had before.
That exact same thing happened for Vikings football. That exact same thing happened to us.
Mike Hamill. He can never live that down. Just like Kevin Durant will never be able to live down. I don't care how many championships you win. You had your bodyguard step in and fight your fights on a basketball court.
And by the way, if I'm coaching Milwaukee, I'm now going, all right, this guy's mentally weak. Go early 90s Knicks on him. I mean, you don't have to fight him or cheap shot him or end his career. You don't have to hurt him. But I mean, you're obviously he's has no backbone. I mean, just attack him. Can you imagine if Draymond Green? Can you imagine if Draymond Green was on Milwaukee?
Oh yeah.
The press conference would be live from Sunset Strip prior.
Can you imagine if Kevin Garnett was like that? I mean, just
I was just talking about a current player. Yeah, Garnett would go crazy, and then he would back away from the fight too. But
the post game stuff, you would be saying.
But I mean,
post game would be epic.
If you
it was Draymond, post game would be epic.
If it was Draymond.
Has Draymond spoken about this? Because he's been on TV a lot.
I have not seen. I haven't. Maybe you have. I haven't seen anything.
He's probably his idea now. If you're not paying me, I'm not talking about it. But yeah, if Draymond, because Draymond's the heir apparent to Barkley. Can you imagine if Draymond was on that team? And I know I have a love for Draymond, but Draymond.
No, he speaks his mind. I love the guy.
But he also is tough. He's a tough guy who cares.
Mm hmm.
And is willing to sacrifice parts of his game to make his team better. I mean, if Draymond would kill him, can you imagine if Kevin Garnett was in college, if he was playing Big Ten basketball, and then he had to walk into one of those places?
And by the way,
what they would do to him?
There's no love lost between Draymond Green and Kevin Durant as well.
No,
so I mean things did not end on a good note between those guys. So.
Well, good for everyone that really came down on Boston, and good for everyone that
kept their mouth shut during that,
and sided with the Durants of the world, the very put upon, victimized Durant. There you go. He had his bodyguard come out and body his friend away from him because his friend had the audacity to get in his face and start jawing at him. Which is. We're not talking about old school basketball or look at me, I'm an old man, I wish it was this way. I mean, he literally got in his face and was yelling at him. That can't happen now, that you're not allowed to do that without having someone's personal bodyguard come on the court and physically chuck you out of the way. That's loot. And then why should I watch basketball? These guys now have bodyguards? Like, why should I watch basketball? 12-year-olds don't have bodyguards playing AAU basketball. And there's arguments and kids get in each other's faces. Like, so you're weaker than a kid. Watch girls basketball, 11-year-old girl basketball, fourth grade girls softball. I've seen girls get in each other's faces. I mean, I'm not kidding.
Someone made a good point too. This is what he chose. He chose Kyrie over Steph and Clay. Like, Durant did not have to be in this position. Like, he could have just, like, continued to coast his way to more and more championships.
Yeah, but that's the problem, see? He burned out his... Ever since he and Draymond got into it, there was no going back. That was the thing.
Well, he'd already made up his mind.
Well, I mean...
He'd made up his mind.
You could say that, but then the money comes back around during the summer and all is forgotten. I think that the whole Draymond thing, that was... He burned his last bridge with that team and was on his way out.
Yeah, well... Good for Kevin. And again, I feel bad for the guy. I really do.
Who, Kevin Durant?
Yes. And I'll tell you why. Because he's living in a personal hell. That he really has to do a lot of work on himself. The idea that he's on there on Twitter defending himself and got fake accounts. I mean, that's all like bad mental health stuff, man. You got to get your stuff together and enjoy the ride a little bit. I mean, you're making a ton of money. You're getting, you if you just... had any backbone, everyone would love you. There's a whole publicity campaign to make people like you, and you got your bodyguard out there. I can't believe it. When John sent that story, I'd not seen the story. I hadn't seen it. John sent it.
I missed it last week.
I said, this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Why is this not the biggest story? Why is not everyone talking about it? Bottle throwing in Boston. Kyrie saying the town was subtly racist was huge news. You couldn't get away from it. Oh boy, Boston blew it now. This one guy really blew it for Boston. Bah, 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 bah. He didn't have a bodyguard get in and check PJ Tucker out of the way.
He's not up on charges, on felony charges.
I mean, get out of here with that stuff. I hope you're all very happy with yourselves about how you all thought you were on the right side of everything, and it turns out you weren't. All right, Rich, what's coming up in the old stack of Rooski?
Will the Celtics be able to move Kemba's massive contract? An insider says it may be easier than you think. Also, the grossest reason a new show was canceled, and the vanity plates that were rejected by the Mass State RMV are a thing of mass hole beauty.
Four recliners. It's impossible. It's impossible. I can't take that. Right, here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want you to go, and like, oh, yeah.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack it up. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
I found this kind of interesting. So apparently, because we've been talking about one of the biggest problems that the Celtics are going to have going into the offseason is trying to figure out what they're going to be able to do with Kemba Walker's gigantic contract. As we know, he's got 2 years and $73 million still left on it. And we've been talking a lot about what's it going to take to get rid of that. It's going to be extremely hard. Where David Aldridge, who obviously is extremely connected, he actually came out and said that he believes that it's not going to be hard at all to trade Kemba Walker. He said that he was on the Celtics Beat podcast. He said, first of all, Kemba's a hell of a player. And when he's healthy, he's a hell of a player. He's a guy who will take everything, make big shots in the fourth quarter. He said, point guard right now, there is a shortage. It's everything in the NBA. You have to have one. You have to have an elite one to have any chance at winning. He said, is he elite? Probably not. But he's right below elite. And a lot of teams need a guy like that despite the injuries. Do you believe that? I mean, Aldridge, as I said, is as plugged in as anyone in the NBA. And if that's the case, then talk about an early big win for Brad Stevens, the general manager, if he's able to move him for, you know, basically not having to give up anything.
Well, look at the teams that are succeeding. I mean, Phoenix certainly has one. You know, if you look at Kyrie in Brooklyn, certainly has one. Drew Holiday's a very good point guard for Milwaukee. I mean, three out of four. I'm trying to remember who the
How about the resurgence of Chris Paul, man? That has just been awesome to watch.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there is some, it's Mike Conley in Utah. Had a very good year this year.
Yep.
So, yeah, Conley averaged 8 or 9 assists a game. So,
the difference is those guys aren't going to miss 30 games.
Yeah. No, that's, Aldridge isn't saying that's not the case, but when healthy, Kemba Walker is not at that level, but right below those guys.
He's also getting paid a tremendous amount of money.
He is. Did you, by the way, you guys, obviously, have you seen the video of the dude in the stands? It was the Denver fans. Two Denver fans were ganging up on a guy with a Phoenix Suns jersey, and this dude tries to cheap shot the Phoenix Suns guy. Phoenix Suns guy grabs a guy by the jersey and beats the living crap out of him, throws him to the side, and then points at somebody with a camera phone and goes, Suns in four. That was game 2, I believe.
And then goes back and hits the guy again that he's holding. I'm sorry, the video's awesome, but he's holding him down, and then he just gives him one more uppercut for good luck.
Yeah. There's people now making T-shirts with this dude's face on it. It says Suns in four, and it's like they're saying he's Nostradamus. He has become the new meme for the run that this Phoenix Suns team has been on. And let's see. Maybe they'll be able to get Kemba Walker and not have to, you know, eat it, which would be a fantastic thing. Okay, so I have to give Boston Magazine all the credit in the world because they did some deep digging, and they went through and they found all of the rejected vanity plates that were submitted to the RMV this year and compiled a list of all of them. Now, when you have your vanity plate rejected, they have to give you a reason as to why. And there are like 15 or 16 different things. They can be too sexual, or they can be one thing or the next. And one driver, whose efforts you just have to admire, filed three similar requests with a similar theme. MLFLVR, MILF Lover. MLFS, just MILFs. And then there was MLFMAN, MILF Man.
So, well, where's the I?
What's the problem? Not everyone knows what that is.
No, but he also didn't put MILF. He put MLF.
Yeah, because I think he's trying to slip one past the goalie. Like, maybe they don't know I'm talking about MILFs.
Too overt. Uh-huh.
And if you're a, why can't he like MILFs?
Well, I mean, he loves MILFs.
Well, what was the reason? It was too sexual? Is that the reason?
Yes, they said that it was too sexual. Also, not one, but two people got a sawed a plate that said PISSA on it, P-I-S-S-A. They said that is vulgar or in poor taste. Two separate applicants wanted their license plate to read G-F-Y-M, which I think the M means mother. I think G-F-Y-M. One of whom sought to increase their odds by requesting G-F-Y-M-1, G-F-Y-M-2, and G-F-Y-M-3. Those two were deemed too vulgar. Also considered vulgar by the Mass DOT standards are
ILVFT.
I love feet. DA, you know, very lucky you got your license plate coming. I don't think that one went under the radar. The word moist, they would not.
Of course, you can't allow that.
Yeah, that's not
gonna SHTBX. I'm assuming the B and the X means box. Other references to moisture that did not meet the RMV standards. Wet yet. WTYET.
Eckersley just can't get one.
these are all the Eckersley's.
I've been standing here 5 minutes.
I mean, he's like, I got the Trans Am. Like, you're really not going to let me put that on here?
Imagine someone pulling up with a Camaro that says "Wet Yet" on the back
outside the nightclub. Oh, I'll go with that guy.
No, he's got two. He's got two Trans Ams. One says "Wet Yet," and then the other one says "Yes."
For reasons,
it's his and hers.
So they put, you know, for reasons clear only the applicant, someone wanted to emphasize a certain size of their body part. LILDCK, that was rejected. LILCCK and TINYD, Tiny D. The RMV said those plates were profane, so they cannot use those. RMV also rejected both VAGLVR.
Wait. Oh, vagina lover?
The fact that the guy tried, there's some kind of respect for that.
I wonder if it's the same dude. I mean,
what did that look like?
He's a feminist.
Look at that.
He's a feminist.
That's right. He's a big.
It could have been a female who submitted that. We don't know.
Or fine. Then maybe it was Gloria Steinem, for all we know.
That's right.
Yeah. So VAGLVR, not approved. Neither was PSYWGN.
Right. Okay.
He's a big fan of the Kill Bill.
No, that's a cop. That was a copyright infringement. That wasn't because it was dirty. That was.
Sorry, Jeff Fisher. I apologize.
Yeah, that's copyright infringement, man. I got that license plate in all 50.
Yeah.
Plus Puerto Rico.
If you spell ass like AZZ, that violates the rules, too. So no good luck for AZZKKR, as kicker, or badass, or KCKAZZ, kick ass. All rejected, unfortunately.
Well, they just got to reject that every year. I mean, every year someone's going to want a little kick ass.
Yeah, and then there was just dudes who, you know, want to show you whether they're awesome with S-U-X-T-B-U, sucks to be you. Because
what was Barnes's plate? You know me.
Oh, yeah, it was like you. N-O-M-E, you know me? Was that
really?
It? Oh, yes. All other plates deemed inappropriate were P-E-K-K-A.
All right, let's break. In case we do have a meeting, let's break. And be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Get you going every day.
I don't care for the sportsmanlike talk.
Toucher and Rich.
At least let me live in a fantasy world that for 3 hours you hate each other.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
985 the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Damn Massachusetts government putting down the people who want the vanity plates. It's not right.
Yeah, I think the guy who tried to put in all of the different ways you can spell MILF man and getting rejected for each one of them, I just think is completely unfair. I mean, listen, couldn't you just say, well, I appreciate a man who loves MILF. So yeah, enough to just put it the three different ways, one, two, three, and four, and what can you do? But on top of that, there was some other rejected plates. There was one spelled B-L-O-M-I. On top of that, somebody, for some reason, the state thought a plate reading fishy. They didn't like that. They said, quote, significance meaning of the plate is missing or incomplete.
What? Oh, so it has to have a significant meaning? Like, I'm always up to, like, nefarious things. I'm a little fishy.
Maybe that's the case.
I mean, that's the, there's not enough meaning. They need a backstory. They should interview the people and figure out if they're warrant this. As if anyone cares. Anyway, like, I was driving around with my kids, and there was an MLF LVR plate. Like, it blew everyone's mind. It was missing the eye.
And interestingly enough, the word period was also considered profane.
What?
Well, that's true. It's evil.
Yes, it is.
Everything that goes down in the hoo-ha is an evil. Yeah. What are you doing? You're dispelling your egg.
You can't do that. So real quick, John, Bill Belichick is talking, and one thing that we learned, one interesting thing to keep an eye out for.
Two things. We've been talking about Cam Newton. He's a full go at practice. He's a full go during these 3 days at minicamp. But the interesting story around the Patriots, Stephon Gilmore not there for the beginning of mandatory minicamp. He had missed all the voluntary stuff. We speculated why. It was because of his contract now. The fact that he's not there today, it is exactly why.
Well, I wouldn't go either, and I don't think you guys would either.
He's got every reason to not. I mean,
I'm not getting hurt for $7 million. No, they need to pay him.
But yeah, this is where it starts. This is Gilmore officially saying, let's go.
Yeah, and the team knows it, and the team's got to get it done because the team spent all that money in free agency. You can't let Gilmore go now.
Nope.
I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, whatever you lose him for, whatever you trade him for, isn't going to be of equal value.
It's a future asset.
Yeah.
It's a future asset, which you do not need right now. Assman's ending before our show's over. Wow. How about that?
Well, you can always put in
diarrhea. No problem with that.
Or better yet, how about I'm the milkman.
I'm the milkman. No, this is real dirty. After we read all those, we probably shouldn't do that. It's one of those where, like, you can infer the words. All right.
I bled for an hour and a half, and it just wouldn't stop.
That's right, his bleeding.
Yes.
Well, he tried to get the license plate. All right. Hey, everyone, enjoy your days, huh? That'll do it for us. Zolak and Bertrand are in next. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.